Hello, everybody. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Amy Shea. Got it right?
Yeah.
Hello, Amy.
Hi.
Amy is an adult child, yes, she is, of a parent who came out as gay. And they had their first conversation about this at age 20.
It was around maybe like 21, 22. I don't remember
around there.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. And Amy is also a co-founder of the Gay Dad Project, an organization that helps other children of parents who have come out as gay. Welcome to you, Amy.
Thank you.
And thanks for clearing that up.
Yes.
We are also going to have another guest on the phone after news and events. It is our privilege and honor to have Amy's father joining us tonight, Pete. So he's going to be calling. Where does he live?
He lives in Montana.
He's going to be calling. We're going to be calling him from we are calling him. He lives in Montana. And so during news and events, we're going to be getting hold of him, and then we're going to have Amy and her dad on as our guests tonight. And Amy, as well as being one of the co-founders of the Gay Dads Project, you have another co-founder, Erin, who was going to be here tonight, well, by phone, but she couldn't. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about Erin and the difference between how you two met and how you came across with this website and how you found each other and all that, because it's very, very important. And as people become more and more interested in this subject, we can direct them to your website, which we will do after news and events.
Great.
So until then, we do have Greg Moralia, Outbeat member and our engineer for tonight. Hi, Greg.
How are you?
We're really good, riffing and roaring to go. So here's news and events with Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, September 1st, 2013. Just weeks after getting married in July, former Army Sergeant and Don't Ask, Don't Tell advocate Darren Manzella was killed in a car crash this last Thursday in upstate New York. He was 36 years old. Manzella, a combat medic who had served in Iraq in 2004, had become one of the familiar faces in the fight to bring down the federal government's ban on openly gay, lesbian, and bisexual service members. He was discharged months after coming out on a 60 Minutes show in 2007, but later said his announcement was worth it. Manzella said in a letter to President Obama, quote, "I gave voice to tens of thousands of men and women who serve every day under the fear of Don't Ask, Don't Tell." Since the ban was lifted in 2011, Manzella reportedly joined the Army Reserves and worked at a Veterans Affairs office. On July 5th, he married his husband, Javier Lepera Soto, in Rochester, New York. And on Thursday this week, the IRS and Federal Department of Health Services made two critical announcements for legally married LGBT couples. The Federal Department of Health and Human Services announced that legally married LGBT seniors on Medicare will be eligible for equal benefits and joint placement in nursing homes around the country. In the wake of the Supreme Court's landmark ruling in June striking down a key section of the Defense of Marriage Act, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebela said this is the first in a series of changes forthcoming in how the department deals with married LGBT people. Medicare is now ensuring that all beneficiaries will have equal access to coverage in nursing homes where their spouses live, regardless of their sexual orientation. Prior to this, a beneficiary in a same-sex marriage enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan did not have equal access to such coverage and, as a result, could have faced time away from his or her spouse or higher costs because of the way that marriage was defined for this purpose. One very important aspect of these new guidelines state that Medicare now applies equally to all married couples, regardless of where the couple resides. That's important for LGBT Medicare recipients who reside in a nursing home in a state that does not embrace marriage equality, since they will be eligible for the same benefits as opposite-sex couples. And then the IRS announced that legally married same-sex couples will now be treated as such for federal tax purposes, even if they don't live in a state that recognizes their union. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew said, "Today's ruling provides certainty and clear, coherent tax filing guidance for all legally married same-sex couples nationwide. It provides access to benefits, responsibilities, and protections under the federal tax law that all Americans deserve." He added, "This ruling also assures legally married same-sex couples that they can move freely throughout the country, knowing that their federal filing status will not change." This week's ruling applies to those who entered into a legal marriage in any U.S. state or territory, the District of Columbia, or any foreign country. It does not, however, apply to couples in a domestic partnership or civil union or other not-quite-married relationship recognized by a state law. Legally married couples generally will be required to file their 2013 federal tax return using either married filing jointly or married filing separately status. Legally married couples may also, but are not required to, file original or amended returns choosing to be treated as married for federal tax purposes for one or more prior tax years still open under the statute of limitations. Refund claims can still be filed for tax years 2010, 2011, and 2012. And here in California, a federal appeals court Thursday upheld the nation's first-of-its-kind law prohibiting health practitioners from offering psychotherapy aimed at making gay youth straight. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco ruled that California's ban on so-called conversion therapy for minors doesn't violate the free speech rights of licensed counselors and patients seeking treatment. The activities of pastors and lay counselors who are unlicensed but provide such therapy through church programs will not be covered under the law. The case before the appeals court was brought by professionals who practice sexual orientation change therapy, two families who say their teenage sons benefited from it, and a National Association of Christian Health Counselors. However, in a 3-0 ruling, the court panel held that California has the power to prohibit licensed medical health providers from administering therapies deemed harmful, and that the fact that free speech may be used to carry out these therapies does not turn such bans into prohibitions of speech. And for information about local LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, be sure to check out gaysonoma.com. And if you have news or an event you would like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com. And follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And we're back. Diana and I are back. We are back.
We are back.
In our Living Proof studio with our guest, Amy Shea, and her father, Pete. Pete, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. How are you?
Good and a little bit surprised.
Yeah, it was kind of a shocking question your daughter just called and asked you, huh?
Yeah, 5 minutes is much notice, but that's all right.
5 minutes of little notice that you will be appearing on this radio show air. That's trust, you know? That says a lot about your relationship.
So, well, anyway, Amy, yes. Let's start with you. So how does it feel to be here knowing that you're on the line with your father?
It feels good. It feels it feels natural, I guess. We've been, our relationship has changed a lot over the years, and so now I think we're kind of in a really good place to be able to talk about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it's not like it used to be, right, Dad?
Yeah.
So anyways, let's start this conversation, Pete. We saw your daughter's website. I mean, we saw some of the clips on Gay Dad Project. Thanks for that. Yeah, and we just remember seeing your interview with Ricky Lake and that conversation. And so if you don't mind...
I was going to say, can we educate the audience about the conversation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so you were on the Ricky Lake show with your father. And
almost a year ago, yeah.
Yeah. For people who haven't seen the video clip, can you summarize it for us?
The Ricky Lake show was kind of the first I guess, big public thing that we did since starting the Gay Dad Project. And so it was, at least for me, it was a really kind of nerve-wracking experience to be talking and speaking so openly and so publicly about my dad kind of coming out and having a gay dad. And it's been a interesting year, a really crazy year, but it was good. The conversation, I think, last year was more difficult in that we hadn't really talked so publicly about all of this. And in our family, there's five people, and so there's five different stories and five different accounts of how everything happened and five different experiences. And so we were two of them, and again, we're two of them today. But
so tell us and everyone who's listening, what is the story?
My story is that when I was in high school, I kind of figured out that my dad was different than most other dads, and I figured out that he was gay, and we didn't talk about it. Our family kind of lived, I was born and raised in northern Montana, and so let me think, I've been out of high school for 11 years now, so, 11 12, 13, 14 years ago, 14 years ago was Matthew Shepard in Wyoming. And, Montana's really close to Wyoming, and it was really, really scary at that time to know that my dad was gay and to wonder what would happen if my dad came out, wonder what would happen to my dad, wonder what would happen to, I have a younger brother and sister and my mom and all of that. So back then, that was really scary. We didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it. I graduated high school in 2002, and I went to college in San Diego, and there I kind of started being a little more open about the fact that I thought my dad was gay. And then I believe it was my junior year of high school. Dad, do you remember the exact year?
2004.
There we go. My dad called me on the phone and, came out. That was the first conversation we had about him being gay, even though I had known for a while. And so that really wasn't that long ago either.
Right. Could I ask you, Pete? So Amy, you on the video clip with Ricky Lake, it sounded like you had a revelation that you kind of figured out why Amy didn't like you, didn't talk to you. You used the word hated you during those high school years. What prompted you to call her in 2004? I'm figuring it was just out of the blue.
Actually, my mother was in the hospital and had heart surgery at that time. And so I called all the kids and told them about that. But while I had her on the phone, I also told her that I was gay. And the reason for doing it at that time was that my second daughter, who was still home in high school, had... I had told her already. That's another story. But I figured since I had told the younger daughter, I should tell Amy too.
Uh-huh. And you have a son as well?
I do, and he's the youngest. He'll be 24 in a couple months.
Uh-huh. Back in 2004, when you told your second daughter and then Amy, did you tell your son as well?
No, I didn't. I forget how old he was, but I thought at the time that I should wait until he was a little older. I think I realized now, the more that this Gay Dad Project talks to other individuals, other parents about coming out to their children, it seems like the younger the child is, the easier it is for them, the more quickly they can adapt to it and accept it. When you wait till a kid is 14 years old, going through puberty on their own and questioning all kinds of things about their own sexuality, it's a little more difficult to deal with your parents' sexual difficulties or differences or whatever.
Yeah, Amy's here shaking her head yes when you were saying about it's easier to tell kids when they're younger.
Yeah.
She's shaking her head.
So he was about maybe 14 or so, your brother?
I think
I waited until he was junior in high school.
Junior in high school.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he was like the jock, the football playing, very typically straight high school jock in a small town. And it was, I worried about that for a while in this small town. Just because you're different, and when you're different and you stick out.
Speaking of differences, I'm curious what you notice, Amy, about your dad. You know, for all those years that you held this,
yeah,
and you didn't say anything. So I'm curious about that.
What
did you notice that you figured your dad was gay? You figured him out.
Just noticed that my dad was different than a lot of other dads. I mean, my dad was similar in that he liked to hunt and fish, and he was kind of, to use lack of better terms, like a macho man in that way. But then there was this side of my dad that was really kind of soft and emotional, and he liked poetry and classical music, and he taught music in school and theater. And so these two things were kind of, you know, they were like these two sides of my dad, and, you know, it kind of, I noticed that. And so I looked for that other side in other fathers, and I didn't ever really see it. And that's not to say that all men that like classical music and theater are gay, but these were, you know, this is how I was trying to process and make sense of, you know, what was going on in my house. And I noticed this kind of, I don't want to say maybe conflict in my dad, but I noticed these different sides. And so that was what kind of led me to start wondering. So, and then it didn't really occur to me that my dad was gay until I met, I'll try to summarize this up as clearly as possible, but it was a friend's cousin that was visiting in town, and they were from Arizona, and we had lunch in the park one day, and they were talking about their parents' divorce, and they had mentioned that both of their parents had new boyfriends, and that was like this click moment that I was like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. Like, because I knew that my parents, I saw that my parents didn't really get along, and I was trying to understand, you know, like love and relationships, and how I kind of wanted my parents to get a divorce. So I was asking these kids about divorce and kind of trying to understand divorce. And as soon as they said that, it kind of all made sense. And so I believe that was the summer before my junior year. I was 16.
So they said both of my parents have new boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you talk about that at all with
no.
them? You just let that go out.
Well, I asked them a few questions because at first I thought I'm like heard something wrong, and I was like, what? And they were very casual, like, oh yeah, but both of our parents have new boyfriends. And I was like, but wait, that doesn't make sense. And they kind of laughed at me, and not laughed in a mean way, but just kind of jokingly laughed. And they were like, well, I said, but you know, your parents were married. And they said, well, obviously our dad's gay now, but at one time he wasn't. And like that line, it was just like, oh, I get it now. And I didn't talk about it. I sort of tested a few of my friends, my really, really close friends in high school, and asked them if they noticed some of these differences. Like I would say, I think my dad might be gay. And everyone would tell me, no, 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 you're crazy. Like, your dad's not gay. What are you talking about? And so I guess in that way, it was kind of like a safe secret. It wasn't an easy secret to keep, because I knew somewhere that this would happen, that we would, you know, our family would kind of go through this coming out process. And so, yeah, that's why in college I could talk about it more, I think. Mm-hmm. It was farther from home and in a big city. And I thought in college for sure I would meet somebody else that had a gay parent. And it wasn't until my late 20s that I actually met other kids. And so it's been a while.
I'm curious too, Amy, how did you hold on to that, knowing that the possibility was there, but nobody was talking about it? Who did you talk to?
I didn't talk.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was difficult. I talked to my friends in college once I got to college, but those last few years of high school, I didn't say much.
So this is when your dad noticed the hate come in. Huh, Pete? This is when you felt the charge,
This is the revelation I had at the Ricky Lake Show. Mm-hmm. I knew that all 4 years in high school, we couldn't have a civil conversation. Everything was an argument. Everything was a fight for 4 years. It was just never pleasant. And it wasn't until I was sitting in the audience at the Ricky Lake Show and Amy was on the stage talking to her at first, I realized this is what bothered her those 4 years in high school. There were tears. Mm-hmm.
And you had no idea she was struggling with this while she was in high school?
No idea.
So you thought, what did you think when she was so unpleasant for those 4 years? What was your hypothesis?
I thought it was my daughter's personality, and, you know, sometimes kids clash with their parents over for whatever reasons. You know, there are all kinds of reasons why kids don't get along with parents. I thought I was doing the best I could as a father. I knew that my marriage was troubled, and I think I sensed that the kids felt that, and that hurt me the most to know that. But I felt like there were things in my marriage that were beyond my control. I just couldn't. You can't give what you don't have. I wasn't happy. I worked hard. I felt like at least I'm the breadwinner for my family, and I'm going to provide for them financially. And I think I did that well. But, you know, I feel that on an emotional level or on a supportive level, being able to talk closely, we didn't have it. And that's one of the things when I got married was that I wanted a loving family. I remember high school classmates of my own. I had an Italian classmate. When his parents would come, he and his mother and his father would both embrace each other and kiss each other. I never had that in my family. And that's the kind of loving family life I wanted, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I just want to check in with, we get back to you, Pete, in a second here, because I have questions, but I want to check in with you, Amy. How was that to hear your dad? What?
Growing up was difficult, and my parents' relationship was really, tumultuous. It was very cold and unloving, and I think it's hard to talk about that period of my life, and mainly because I had no way to kind of make it better. That was, my parents created that, and I still kind of have it's still hard to talk about and to deal with, in that those were choices that they made, and that was the environment that we had to all live in. And mm-hmm. those were their choices. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm older and I can reflect back on that, I mean, it's changing and it's getting better, and we're having some really good conversations in our family. But it was difficult for a long time, and it's nice to know that we're not alone now. And lots of other families have handled the coming out process and being married much differently than ours. And it's just good to know that we're not alone anymore. So, yeah.
And so Pete, I'm curious about, you talked about not having support. So not having people around you where you can talk about this issue. So how did you deal with it?
I don't recall saying that I didn't feel like I had support. All through my life, there were individuals here or there that mm-hmm. I could talk with a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking in high school, after college, when I had my first job, I did have one friend that I could confide in and share things with. But it was a different world back then. I mean, I don't know how much into detail we want to get about that. It's so easy now to forget how difficult that was because things have changed. I mean, coming back to the Ricky Lake show, for me, that was an easy experience. And I think I said on that show that what I'm doing on the Ricky Lake show was easy. The hard part was the years that I had to hide and pretend, and all the times I went to bed wishing I would get sick and die, or... I think I was a lucky teenager because I didn't realize that suicide was an option. There are too many young kids today that take their lives. You know that story. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I guess I've strayed from your question, but
well, thank you for that answer, though. I mean, mm-hmm. that takes a lot of strength to say that. I think what Di was asking, and I'm curious also, and probably the listeners are also, is when Amy was talking about her high school years and how she couldn't talk about it in your family, I'm wondering how you got through those years before you decided to call a divorce with your wife and tell your kids. I'm curious what, both of us are curious, what did you do for support during those tumultuous years?
I don't feel like I had any. It was really difficult. Like I said, there were nights I went to bed, even sleeping with my wife, where I wished tomorrow would never come. I wished I would die. I wish I would get sick. It was just one day at a time, struggle through it. There was no support. I felt like I had two separate lives, and I was trying to keep them separated. I didn't want them to collide. I felt that most of my life was pretending to be something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I knew that to be a teacher, it wasn't acceptable to be gay. In Montana and many other states, you can still be legally fired simply for being gay, and there's no legal recourse for that. There are so many other things. I mean, I was brought up in a real conservative Catholic home, and religion is still a real divisive thing in my family. I have seven siblings, and three of them at this point are not speaking to me because I'm gay, basically. Just within the past year, after I was on the Ricky Lake show, I received a call from a priest I've known, a local priest, the parish I've gone to here. For 30 years, I've known this man. I've led the choir in this parish, volunteer. I've never been paid for it. And he called me the day after. There was an article in the local paper about my being on the Ricky Lake show. He called me the next day and told me that I was no longer able or will it. No longer allowed to lead the choir in that church. So basically he told me to go away, and I haven't been back since. So, you know, those things are still happening.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry to hear that. It sounds like the whole family just went through so much pain. I mean, we haven't even talked about your brother and sister, Amy, and your mom.
Yeah. I think, like I said, that's one of my... one of the most important things I think about the Gay Dad Project is that there's five people in our family, and there's five stories and five experiences, and it hasn't been easy for anybody. But if we can talk and connect and have a space that other families like ours can share stories, and I'm starting to see that maybe our family's story is one of the more difficult ones, or that there was a lot that doesn't have to be that hard for so many people, but it wasn't easy for a really long time, and it's there's still challenges and hurdles that we're kind of working through as this all unfolds. But it's better. Mm-hmm. It's a lot better, and I think meeting and connecting with other families has definitely changed that, and I think it's changed it for the other families too. That's the cool thing about connecting with all these families, is that it's not so isolating anymore. Now we're talking about it, and we're connecting with other people, and so that's the good news.
So the things that's coming up for me right now is how incredibly strong you are, Amy.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Pete, mm-hmm. How incredibly strong you are.
Well, it doesn't feel like strength. You just do what you have to do, but I'm glad it feels that way. And I'm in a place now where I feel good about myself. I mean, it's so much better to be open and to be who I am, and I'm not having to hide and pretend anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a song that we thought we'd play. Now we'd take a little music break and give us all a break to breathe. This is Desiree. And the song is called You Gotta Be. And this is dedicated to both of you.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You got
You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Harold, what your mother said, read the books your father read, trying to solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Than you, others take a different view. My, oh my, yeah. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. As your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds, trying to keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears, go ahead, release your fears. My, oh my, eh, eh.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof, and we are talking with Amy Shea and her father, Pete, about their relationship and the organization that Amy co-founded called the Gay Dad Project. So welcome back. Pete, you still there with us?
I'm still here.
All right.
Okay, great. So listen, I thought maybe we can talk a little bit about what we witnessed on the Ricky Lake show. Okay. And it was around the conversation with you and your dad around, and we felt that there were some concerns or some loyalty toward your mother with you, Amy. And so we're curious about, have you heard from other kids or have you talked to other people around this issue of divided loyalties? Do we devote, do we support this parent or this parent? How did that work out for you and your family?
I think for me, I always felt a little caught in the middle, and I've been very strong on the fact that I don't want to have to take sides ever. But sometimes I get into conversations with both of my parents, trying to get them to see the other person's perspective. And I think that's kind of what happened on Ricky Lake was that, a conversation that happened after Ricky Lake, after my dad and I were on Ricky Lake, was that I think that there's a lot of miscommunication between my parents. And in that miscommunication, each side doesn't kind of starts to fail to see the other side of that. And so, after Ricky Lake, my dad and I had a good conversation, or I thought it was a good conversation, about my mom's perspective and just kind of trying it, you know, it's not easy for anybody. And so just kind of being sensitive to what she went through. And you know, both of my parents went through a lot. We all did. It was, like I said, it's five people in a family and five different experiences. And so, I don't see myself as loyal to one parent. I'm loyal to both of my parents, but I'm also, I hope I'm not overly critical, but I see that there are some, you know, like, I see my parents entered into a relationship and chose to have children together, and us three kids didn't choose to be born to our parents. And so, they're the ones that kind of set the tone for how the family interacts. And so in that way, that's kind of their responsibility. But yeah, other families, I think the more we go on with this and the more it becomes, you know, that people don't have to hide about being gay anymore. I think that it becomes easier to kind of go through a divorce and have a parent come out. I really hope that, you know, divorce is hard enough for kids and for families to go through. And so when you have that extra side of a parent coming out, I hope that that becomes less taboo and that people are more sensitive to, you know, families that go through that and less judgmental, because that was a big thing for me. Was I always kind of felt like a social outcast or a social freak because I had a dad that came out. You know, everybody knew, oh, your parents got divorced, and it was like people could classify me and they understood me if I was a child of divorce. But when I became a child of divorce and having a parent come out, that was like I got a lot of, oh, strange, or oh, I've never met anybody like that. And and so even if your family's not going through it, you can, you know, people are familiar with that, you know, people get divorced and sometimes people come out after being in a straight marriage, and that happens.
So I feel like, Amy, that there's a lot that you want to say, but you're not really saying it. So I want you to speak about the outcast part, if you can, if you will. How did that make you feel? How were you impacted by, you know, not just a divorce in your family, but a dad coming out as gay? I just feel like there's a lot of energy around that for you.
I think I probably, for protection, isolated. I just always felt like I wasn't, I didn't ever know anybody else like me. You know, like another kid that had gone, I knew kids that had gone through divorce. I knew people that had come out, but that combination, I'd never really encountered that aside from this one conversation back when I was 16. And so I guess I searched for that for a really long time. And I kind of felt, and that was probably my own, you know, my own feelings, but feeling a little bit outside of everything. And I think I'm only starting to understand that, or I'm only starting to see that I did that. It wasn't like it was an intentional thing. It just, that part of me didn't connect with people, that because I felt strange or odd for having a parent that had come out. You know, you don't know anybody else like that. So
it sounds like it was a very lonely time for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining each person in your family was probably a very lonely time for your father, for your mom, mm-hmm. for your brother and your sister.
I think our family specifically, I think that's the case, that we all kind of shut off and existed in five different worlds. But that's not how it always has to be, that's not how other families are either. That might be unique to our family, or that might be something that's more different in our family, I guess, if that's the right way to say that.
And Pete, as Pete, are you there?
Yes.
As I'm listening to Amy, I keep remembering what you'd said earlier, that you wanted a loving family.
Yes.
How is this to know that there was just so much isolation between the five of you?
I felt I did the best I could. I felt like I was winging it through my marriage. I didn't know what I could do, what I could handle. And I think that's where the Gay Dad Project comes in. I guess I'm putting in a little plug here, and maybe we can talk more about that later. But
no, let's do it.
Well, I think I'm really proud of what Amy is doing in this regard, because I think it can help other people that were in my shoes. There was no help. I mean, I was lonely, too.
Yes.
I can relate to everything that Amy said, because growing up, I felt like I was the only person. I didn't know other people that were gay. And the ones I did know, I didn't want to be like that, even if I thought I was gay, because they were all effeminate. And, you know, I had the same stereotypes that everybody else had.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been through exactly the same things. But I think it doesn't have to be that way anymore. I think we're making strides toward changing all that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way that you tried to bring at least your kids together to talk, like the four of you, or is there a way that you can involve your wife, the five of you, could sit down and try to do some healing work around all this, or is it not the right time?
We haven't sat down together. Amy and Emily and I are going to my niece's wedding, their cousin's wedding in Minneapolis later this month. I am kind of hoping my son will go, and that will give us a chance to be together. I don't know how much sit down and serious conversation we can have, but I think any time that we can be together in any way, it's some kind of sharing. I visited my son last week. I made a trip to where he's living, and it was good. He was able to joke about it. I think each child deals with it in his own way, and I think my son's okay with it. I think my daughter Emily is okay with it, at least to the extent that that's what they tell me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not willing to share. They may be pretending somewhat in the same way that I did most of my life, you know, just to be the smiley face, happy child and not share with me all the things that are bothering them, and I wish they would feel free to talk freely. I would like that.
Well, maybe if they listen to this radio show, they'll feel invited.
I think they do already. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
So the other two, your sister and brother, so they have been involved in mm-hmm. speaking out and stuff?
Yeah. And I think that the longer the project goes on, the more comfortable just even our family hopefully kind of becomes. It's it's not easy to speak out sometimes, because there's people that don't always agree, and will say that people are quick to judge what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're putting yourself out there, and you're kind of putting yourself at risk. But I think I'm hopeful that our family will get to a place where everybody's comfortable talking and telling their story. And we're making a documentary film with the Gay Dad Project, and that's really, I'm hoping that there will be five faces and stories in that from our family and from other families too.
Yeah,
so
tell us more about that.
The documentary film is where it started with Aaron and I. We're the two that founded the Gay Dad Project, and it's telling the stories of these families that have had a parent come out, and it's giving a space to the different members that are comfortable sharing their stories, and they can share their stories in this film, and hopefully it maybe sheds some light on that and helps people understand, because I think it's, as with a lot of life experience, you understand it more when you go right through it. But being able to watch it and listen to people tell their stories, that can shed light on that as well. So that's the film, I guess. We've started filming some people, and we've filmed some interviews from kids. And I use the term kids loosely, because it's adult kids too, in their 30s and 40s and 50s, that have never had a place to talk about this or never been able to talk about it. And so, we've started, you know, filming interviews and these stories. We get emails and we share stories on our website, and
they just keep coming, and that's a really good thing.
It's fabulous. Yeah, we were on your website, and we saw the trailer, and it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. In fact, I left a comment.
Oh, did you?
But I particularly loved the picture of all three kids, you and Aaron and a man, with your fathers.
Who would that be? Is that Jared?
Maybe? I think it's Jared.
Originally, we started with three people, and Jared has since... we interviewed him for the film and stuff, but Aaron and I are now kind of running the Gay Dad Project. So that would... I guess that would be Jared and Aaron and I and Larry and my dad.
So you're doing this independently, or you have some crew?
We have a camera crew in Kansas City. Aaron is in Kansas. She's Kansas City based, and then our camera crew is Kansas City based. And so we're fundraising and hopefully going to be going around and getting stories from different places in the U.S. and if we can, around the world.
So maybe you want to put a plug out to the audience. Maybe they know people who they contact for...
If there's people that have stories that they want to share, I mean, email us, send us your story on the website. We can probably guarantee that your story will be shared on the website. The film is a little bit harder because we're planning it and, getting to all these places is the challenge with the film.
So does somebody have to have a gay father to be part of the project?
No, we're looking, on our project stories, a parent that comes out as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, a parent that's come out. Mm-hmm. So, I believe in San Francisco, the end of June, we filmed, a woman with a gay mom. So we have, it's all the stories are so different yet so similar. And I guess that's just kind of how it goes, we're all human, so we all have human stories, but we're sharing stories of I'm trying to think what's on our website too, but I believe we have stories of kids with transgendered parents, gay moms, gay dads, bisexual parents. I think we have stories from bisexual parents, but I'm not sure if we have stories of kids of bisexual parents. But, it's just kind of in a really broad and larger picture, I think we're talking about family. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about kind of going through something as a family. And however disconnected or connected you go through that, you do go through it together. And,
What is your website address?
It's the Gay Dad Project, GayDadProject.org.
Okay. So. GayProject.org. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Pete, you still with us? So, what are your thoughts about this documentary?
I'm glad to see it happen. I hope it will be helpful. I have high hopes that it's going to have a strong message and be well done so that it will be widely received and do what it's supposed to do. But I would also like to encourage listeners now that the documentary is in the future. Amy's website is ongoing and people can contribute their stories. There are stories posted every few days or every week or sporadically here and there whenever they're available, but people can comment as well as share their stories, and it's a very much current thing that people can take part in right now.
And they can tweet us or talk to us on our Facebook page too.
Do you have a tweet hashtag?
A Twitter handle, yeah. Oh.
Sorry, whatever. I'm kind of out of the loop there. Okay, so can you tell everybody what that is?
Our Twitter handle is Gay Dad Project, GayDadProject, all lowercase, @ Gay Dad Project. So you can tweet us there as well, or go on Facebook and we're the Gay Dad Project there as well. So I think people... initially, at first, it's easy to think that we're a project that's just about gay dads, but we're about so much more. And, talking about parents coming out and talking about how that affects a family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Amy, I'm thinking about, Sharon, I'm going to just ask, I'm thinking about you right now and this, and the way you're looking, your smile on your face, and how proud you are of this project. And your dad, you just called him 5 minutes before you were going to be on this show.
Yeah.
Right? And he got in his pajamas, probably, got in bed. He's on the phone, and he's here. How do you feel? I mean, how do you feel that he's just responding to you in this way? I know this is so important to you.
It's nice to finally be at a place where whatever normal is, if there is a normal, it like a it normal is. Father-daughter relationship, mm. It's nice to be there.
Mm. It's been a long time coming, honey. I can see it in your eyes. Now, how old are you?
I'll be 30 in December. yeah. So, yeah, it's been a long road for all of us, I think. So.
And Pete, did you want to say something?
No, I think I'm all kind of random thoughts. Like when I was 29, Amy, that's when your mother and I skydived for the first and only time. So, you know, maybe you should do some things like that. Or I don't know what that says about a gay man, but, you know, I skydive and do anything anybody else says.
Okay.
We're no different.
Well, we won't go there, right, Amy?
I guess I have to put skydiving on the bucket list before I'm 30.
So we're going to have to close our show, and what we like to do is ask our guests for advice. So we're going to come to you first, Pete, and then we'll let Amy close the show. So, Pete, some advice. So if you hear of parent who's in a heterosexual marriage who is gay, what would your advice be to that parent?
Oh, boy. You can't tell anybody else how to handle it because it's an individual thing. Everybody has to decide for themselves. But I think the main thing is we need to talk about it. And then I think for myself, coming out, being honest with it, being open about it has been such a relief for me. I think everybody that keeps it hidden is struggling. They're living a double life. That's got to be torture continuously. Yeah. And I think you need to face it no matter what it takes. It may not be easy. It may be tragically difficult. Yeah. But I think you need to do that. But I think talking about it is important.
Thank you. I think that's really important, too. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Pete. And Amy?
We want to ask you the same question.
Advice.
What would that be? What would
to
that be? To a heterosexual couple, and one might be
coming
LGBT.
Out, needing to come out.
Yeah.
And there's kids involved.
Yeah.
Advice is so hard. I think that honesty and living a truthful life is the most important. Happiness should be. It's something that everyone deserves. It's not always easy. And I think I think it's easy to think that happiness is something that happens, but at least in my life, it's been something I've worked towards, and I've worked hard towards being happy. And so coming out and being honest and being who you are will make you happy in the end. And it might not be easy, and it might be rough for a while, but I think kids are more resilient than sometimes people, adults, give them credit for. And so the kids will survive, I think. it's something that it's a different experience for everyone in the family. And so, you know, come out and be honest and be truthful, and your kids will be okay. And, you know, for other kids, there's places and people out there just like you. And, you know, we're here for them if they need us.
Thank you.
So moving forward, Amy.
Yeah.
I just have this burning question. Moving forward, what are you hoping for? Hoping for as far as your journey with this.
I guess I hope it only continues to get better, because it seems like we're kind of, as a family and personally and, you know, I think socially in regards to LGBT rights, we're moving forward. And we've been moving forward for the last couple of years. And so I guess to keep going, to keep going, to be happy. continue to be happy, to get happier, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we hope it is possible.
I think so.
Yes.
Well, we want to thank you, Pete. We want to thank you so much for being available to your daughter and to us tonight. We know, where are you living? Montana, right?
I live, do you know where Glacier National Park is?
Uh-huh.
I live right next to that. I can walk out my front door and walking be in the park boundary within 30 minutes.
Oh.
I just did a mile hike in the park today.
Wow, nice.
That's beautiful. Yeah, well, we really want to thank you for taking your time. So it's, what, 10 or 11 there, yeah?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. So thank you very much for taking your time to be with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And Amy, we want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight, getting in touch with us through our website and letting people know about Gay Dad Project. And we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Doing some great work out there. Thank you so much, Amy.
And to everybody out there, we want you to remember that you too can be living proof that no matter how hard life seems to be, you too can be like Amy and Pete. Live through it, be honest, and you will get through it.
You will get through it.
Until next month.
Good night.